Welcome to the Quill Fiction Story Guild podcast, a podcast exclusively for members of the Quill Fiction Story Guild. I'm Frances O'Rourke Dowell, and we're reading my work in progress friendship album, 1934. Thank you for joining us, and as always, thank you for being part of the Quill Fiction community. Now, on to the story. Chapter 31. Do you think my mother liked me? Eula looked up from her weeding. Maisie was leaning on her hoe, her face thoughtful. I mean, most of the time I knew her, she was sick, the girl continued. That's my main memory of her, lying in bed all pale and tired. I've got memories of her holding you when you were a baby, Eula said. She stood, groaning a little from the effort, and wiped the dirt off her hands. She looked as though she thought you'd hung the moon. And I remember one time when you and your family came to visit us on the farm. You and me and your mother went over to our neighbor's house so you could ride their pony. She led you and that pony around in a circle for what seemed like hours. That's an act of love right there. I wish I remembered that. I wish I could remember her happy. She was happy whenever I saw her, before she got sick, Eula recalled. You know, you remind me a lot of your mother. Dan's mother, too. Maisie shook her head. There's someone else I don't remember. Everybody talks about her, but I can't picture her at all. How were we alike? Mother Baker was a pistol, full of life, Eula said, smiling at the memory of her mother-in-law, a stout woman who'd lived to be 92 and was still working on the farm until 3 days before she died. She liked being outdoors, same as you, and she liked horses, same as you. She was a hard worker. Same as me, Maisie finished. I guess I like hearing those things, but it ain't the same as knowing her. No, it's not, Eula agreed. But maybe there's a way you could get to know her. We've got a trunk of her things up in the attic. There are a few old dresses in there, a few handkerchiefs, and some letters. We could see if there's anything in there that you'd like, that might make you feel like you knew her a little better. It's too hot to go up into the attic right now, but maybe after supper. We're going to Aunt Elise's for supper, don't forget. Maisie made a face. You don't think she's going to make liver like she did the last time, do you? Because I don't have much affection for liver. You never know with Elise, Eula said. I'm just glad she's feeling herself again. Hard to believe that 2 months ago she was hardly able to get out of bed. Maisie lifted her hoe as though she were going to go back to chopping up weeds, and then she put it down again. Aunt Eula, can I ask you something without making you mad? That's a hard question to answer, Eula replied. But I can't think of anything you've ever asked me that made me mad. You've asked some irritating questions, it's true, and an occasional impertinent one, but never one that got my blood boiling.
I don't think this is a blood-boiling question.
Maisie paused.
But it might be one that will hurt your feelings.
Eula had to hide a smile. You're thoughtful to consider my feelings, but I'm made of pretty strong stuff, so go ahead and ask what you want to ask. Maisie took a deep breath.
All right, then. You know how you and Uncle Dan are going to the courthouse next week to file them adoption papers? Well, would it hurt your feelings if I don't call you Mother and Dad? Because I've been thinking about that a lot. I know you'll take good care of me, better care of me than my own mother and father, I guess. But sometimes I have this feeling, like my mother is looking over me from wherever she is now, and I'm afraid if I call you Mother, she'll think I've forgotten her. But even though I have forgotten things about her, like her walking me around in circles on that pony, I haven't forgotten her.
I know you haven't, Eula said, laying her hand on Maisie's shoulder. I think it's fine to keep calling us Aunt Eula and Uncle Dan. Your mother is still your mother, after all, and your father is still your father. And they did take good care of you, Maisie. They took good care of you for as long as they could.
I know it, Maisie said, though I think it's a shame my daddy decided to stop just because he's going to have another baby.
If it makes you feel any better, I don't think any of that was his idea.
Maisie gave Eula a long look. No disrespect, Aunt Eula, but that doesn't make me feel better at all.
Well, you can just imagine how I felt after she said that, Eula told the group as they settled into their seats on the fourth floor of building number 5. That girl has been through so much. I could just shake Martin and that new wife of his, shake them till their teeth rattle.
It makes me angry to even think about how they abandoned Maisie, Dorothy agreed, pulling a half-finished block from her sewing basket. I do wonder if her father won't live to regret it.
He's clearly under the thumb of his wife, Emmeline said before lifting a forkful of blueberry pie into her mouth.
Oh my goodness, Eula, this is simply divine. Are these this year's berries, or are they preserves?
Maisie and I picked them over at Elise's place, Eula said. They've got a quarter acre of blueberry bushes. We've been hard at work the last 2 weeks making preserves and jelly.
How is Elise? Bess asked from the refreshments table, where she was pouring herself a cup of coffee. I thought she might be here today.
She's doing just fine, or at least a whole lot better. She'd be here this morning, except that little Jean woke up fretting about something, Eula reported. Elise thinks she might be teething, but it's too early for that. She called me at 7 to get my advice, and when the phone rang, it nearly scared me to death. I still can't get used to having one of those things in my house.
It won't be long till everyone has a phone, Florence said from the doorway. I'm getting one for the new place next week. I found the perfect little table for the foyer to put it on.
Have you spent the night there yet? Eula asked as Florence crossed the room and sat down next to Emmeline. You must be all the way moved in by now.
Saturday will be my first night. Finn, Mr. Wyman, is almost done with his work inside the house. Next week he'll begin building the porch.
It's the perfect week for it, too, Emmeline told the group. Tommy's going to be staying with Florence while Margie and I take our little trip to Emporia. He can keep an eye on Mr. Wyman's little boy while Mr. Wyman is working. The talk moved on to Emmeline's trip to Emporia, with Eula only half paying attention. She wondered if Dorothy was right and Martin would come to regret letting Maisie go. Dan had said something along the same lines after Eula had reported their conversation to him. I think it's a good sign that Maisie still wants to think of Martin as her father and refer to him as such, Dan had said. I'll be honest with you, Eula. I don't know how long this new marriage of his is going to last. There's something about his wife that strikes me as a little unsteady, I guess. She might be the type who'll get all she can out of a man and then move on.
So that's when Martin will decide he wants Maisie back?
Eula gave a violent shake of her head.
No, sir. She's ours now.
Dan grinned. She'll be ours next week when we sign the papers at the courthouse. But she'll always be Martin's daughter, no matter what the legal situation is. I agree she'll be better off here than there. Still, if he wants to spend time with her, he should be allowed to do so.
Maisie has final say in that matter, Eula had declared, and Dan laughed.
I suspect you're right, he said. But she's the one who decides, not us.
Oh, it all just made Eula so mad, and tired, if she was being honest about it. Wasn't this year supposed to be calm, even downright ordinary? All things work together for good, Eula Jean, she could hear her mother say, and Eula had to admit that mostly things had worked out. Yes, Elise had had the baby early and had gone through that terrible sadness afterward, but she was doing so much better these days. And little Jean was just the best baby ever, especially now that she was smiling at people and saving her biggest smile for her grandmother. Or so it seemed that way to Eula. She hoped that when Elisa's folks came to visit in a few weeks that Jean would be just as happy to see them. Or, at least, almost as happy. If she wanted to continue counting her blessings, which she knew she probably should, Eula could point to the fact that Doug and Johnny were staying put for the time being. And at last week's Sunday dinner, Johnny said they'd been out looking at farmland. Eula was trying not to get her hopes too high, but the thought of all her boys nearby made her want to break out singing. What a good gift that would be. So yes, so far this year had been more eventful than she'd hoped for, but it had been filled with gifts. Still, Eula found that her thoughts were filled with if-onlys. If only Martin had found a wife who would have embraced Maisie. If only Martin and his new wife had made a home where the girl would have been welcomed and adored, and not just Maisie, but her brothers and sisters as well. And, as long as Eula was wishing and dreaming, the biggest if-only at all. If only Patricia hadn't died. Eula hadn't known her sister-in-law all that well. Martin was the youngest of the Baker boys, and Dan was the eldest. So by the time Martin and Patricia had married, Eula and Dan were busy on the farm and raising their family. Still, she'd always liked the woman. Eula knew that mothers and daughters didn't always get along, but she suspected that Patricia and Maisie would have been close, would have delighted in one another's company. But even if they hadn't, it would have been better for Maisie if her mother had lived. "You're quiet this morning, Eula," Dorothy said in a soft voice. The two women were sitting next to each other, as they almost always did. "You're worrying about Maisie, aren't you?" "I'm just thinking about all the things I wish I could change for her," Eula admitted. "It's foolish of me, I know." Dorothy nodded. "That way madness lies. I just wish there was something I could do for her."
"You mean besides adopting her and giving her a good home and a good life?"
"I feel like that's something I'm giving myself," Eula said. "And I do believe it's the best thing for her, but it's not the only thing she needs. One of the things that we talked about the other day, me and Maisie, I mean, is ways you can get to know people you've never met or didn't know all that well, even if you had met them. Maisie knew her mother, of course, but she was talking about how Pat was sick most of the time. Maisie never knew Dan's mother, but we have some of her things. Dan brought a trunk full of them down from the attic on Sunday after supper, and we had the best time going through them. Dan told stories about her, and Maisie even tried on one of Mother Baker's old dresses."
"You think there's a trunk of Maisie's mother's things just lying around?"
"I doubt we'd be that lucky twice," Eula said. "And besides, where would they be? Martin moved out of the old house into his new place. There's not enough room there to turn around, much less keep old trunks."
"What about Patricia's mother?" Dorothy wondered. "Is she still alive? And if so, does she still live in Homerville?"
Eula stared at her friend. "You know, I'm not sure. I'd not given it any thought. I know I met her years ago at Martin and Pat's wedding, but she didn't make much of an impression." "Of course, when you're around all those Baker brothers, you'd have to work pretty hard to stick out."
"You should write one of your sisters back in Homerville," Dorothy suggested. "You could include a letter to the grandmother in case she's still alive. Tell her about Maisie. Say she's missing her mother and ask if there's some sort of memento or keepsake the girl could have."
Shaking her head, Eula put her hand on Dorothy's shoulder. "What would I do without you? That's a wonderful idea. I'm just embarrassed that I didn't think of it myself." "That's always the way, isn't it?"
Sometimes you're so close to a person or a problem that you forget to look at all the pieces that are in play. That's what I heard Wallace telling Alice anyway. He's teaching her how to play chess. That doesn't surprise me one bit, Eula said. Has she won any games yet? Dorothy laughed. Oh, no. Wallace doesn't believe in letting children win just because they're children. She's got to earn her victories, is how he puts it. But she's getting closer. I say she'll be giving him a run for his money by the end of September. I wouldn't be surprised if it happened sooner than that, Eula said. To be honest, I wouldn't either, Dorothy agreed. But don't tell Wallace I said that. It had taken Eula a few days to compose a letter to Patricia's mother, a woman who might or might not still be among the living. The accompanying letter that she wrote to her sister Cora took all of 20 minutes. Eula and Cora corresponded on a fairly regular basis, often exchanging recipes and quilt block patterns along with the news of their families. Of her two sisters, Cora was the more practical. Her other sister, Delia, was livelier but more likely to create drama. The last thing Eula needed in her life was drama. The letter, once sent, was mostly forgotten. The end of August was filled with work, from canning tomatoes and corn to making plans for her Saturday quilting group and getting Maisie ready for the beginning of the new school year. She had all manner of quilting projects, quilting patterns, and quilting articles that needed completing, and she had a grandbaby and daughter-in-law to attend to. Eula enjoyed all of the tasks in front of her, though sometimes she wondered what it would be like to have 2 days in a row where nothing was required of her. She suspected that she liked that idea more in theory than she would in practice. But she wouldn't mind testing the supposition out, just to make sure. Maybe that's why, arriving home late one Saturday afternoon toward the end of the month, a try-in afternoon spent shoe shopping with Maisie, she couldn't for the life of her think of what that package on the porch might be or who it might be from. Maisie reached the porch first, examined the package, then turned to Eula and said, "It's got my name on it. Maisie Baker, and that's it. I guess that means it's for me. I hope it's not another dress. I got enough dresses as it is." "Who'd be sending you a dress?" Eula said, having reached the porch. The package before her was wrapped in brown paper and looked far too thick to be a dress. "I don't know," Maisie admitted. "Maybe somebody trying to vex me." "Why don't we take it inside and you can open it up?" They went into the house and made their way to the dining room, where Maisie dropped the package on the table. "I bet it's from my daddy. I bet it's a winter coat. Didn't he say he was going to send me a winter coat?" "I don't recall that he did," Eula said, setting down her bags. "There's one way to find out, though." "Open it?" Maisie's tone suggested that she was reluctant to do such a thing. "The twine's pretty knotted up." "My scissors are in the sewing basket right behind you," Eula said. "I mean my everyday scissors. Don't grab the sewing ones. Now, go ahead and see what's inside. I'd be willing to wager it's something good." "I thought gambling was a sin," Maisie pointed out. "You ought not to lay bets." "It was a figure of speech," Eula said. "Quit your stalling, or I'm going to open it myself." Maisie's eyes widened. "Would you, Aunt Eula? I don't know why I feel so nervous about it. I wish you ever left it on the porch and signed their name to it." "That would have been helpful," Eula agreed. "Hand me those scissors and I'll open it." Maisie gave Eula the scissors and then went to the kitchen. "I'll just get me a cup of water. You go ahead and do what you're doing." So Eula did. She clipped the twine and pulled it away from the package. Then she carefully unfolded the brown paper and lifted the bundle up so that whatever was inside would fall out.
"What is it, Aunt Eula?"
Maisie asked from the kitchen. Is it a coat?
I believe it's a quilt, Eula reported. And there's a piece of paper as well.
Maisie edged her way back into the room.
Go on and read it then.
Eula unfolded the letter. It says, Dear Mrs. Baker, my sister Pat made this quilt when she was 12. Mama kept it because Pat didn't want it. She didn't think it was pretty, but Mama thought she'd change her mind about it later. Mama died a year to the day before Pat passed, and the quilt was given to me. I'd like to pass it on to Maisie, who is my niece, though I'm sorry I never went to Akron to visit her. Maybe one day you will bring her to visit me in Homerville. Most sincerely, Ida Wellstone, sister of Patricia Baker. P.S. My brother-in-law has business in Milton Falls on Saturday, and he is the one who will drop this off. I don't expect he will knock, as he is very shy. Maisie took a tentative step toward the table.
My mother made that? When she was 12?
Eula nodded. That's what the letter says. I think it's real pretty, don't you?
Maisie nodded. You think that pink used to be red?
I do, Eula said. It's just faded from being washed. The pattern is an Ohio Star, one of my favorites.
Maisie was quiet for a moment. Could I put this on my bed, Aunt Eula? I promise to take good care of it.
It's your quilt, Maisie. You can do whatever you want with it.
I'm going to fold it up real neat and put it on the foot of my bed.
Maisie began gathering the quilt in her arms, then looked at Eula.
I guess I wouldn't mind meeting my Aunt Ida one day.
You could write her a letter to say thank you for the quilt, Eula suggested, and you might ask her when a good time to visit would be. I haven't been home in a while.
You should bring Baby Jean with you, Maisie called as she made her way down the hall to her room. Everybody will love that baby.
And everybody will love you too, Eula thought, feeling a calm come over her. Maybe now things were finally settling down, she thought, as she folded up the brown paper the quilt had arrived in. Maisie was here for good. Her boys were all back in town. Things at the quilting company were humming right along. Yes, things were definitely settling down. Eula stopped and shook her head. What had Dorothy said that day on the fourth floor? This way madness lies? Things weren't ever going to settle down, and Eula knew it. But as long as she had her family and her friends, somehow she'd get through to the other side.
Thanks for joining us on the Quilt Fiction Story Guild podcast. We're reading Friendship Album 1934, a novel by Frances O'Rourke Dow, a production of Milton Falls Media, Incorporated. Copyright 2022, all rights reserved. Until next time, this is Frances O'Rourke Dow. Thank you for joining us.